The second way you can supplement a contract is through good faith. And that is, every party of a contract has an obligation to have good faith. And this is done underneath UCC 1201B Section 20, which defines good faith. And it says good faith means honesty in fact and the observance of reasonable commercial standards for fair dealing. We have our examples of faith and way of good faith and how you can find good faith and how you can show that good faith are lacking. The first way that you can show that good faith is lacking is through disparate bargaining power, meaning one party has a lot of goods, a lot of money, a lot of influence, and the other is not well financed, and as a result, one has a lot more power over the other and has an opportunity to introduce bad faith into the contracts. And that's one way that you can find bad faith. Another way that you can find bad faith is through the expectation of parties. Parties that are equal or even unequal expect that contracts are going to be done with good faith. And as a result, if they contract with that good faith and things, any surprises arise, well, then they have some issues with that, obviously. And so the expectations of the parties show that there are good faith. And if the expectation, meaning if they're really surprised by something, that could show that there is a bad faith in going on between the dealings. And then obviously you can have just straight up bad faith and outright dishonesty, where people can lie and cheat in forming contracts, and as a result, to try and get the outcome that they end up wanting to have. And so those are three ways, at least, that you can find that a bad faith was going on. We have a second case. I didn't even name that first case, but our second case is Moran Building Products Co. versus Based on Construction, Inc. What happened here is that one company was contracted by General Motors to add on to their factory plant of producing cars. I believe GM works in producing cars. That may be a complete misnomer. Anyways, this company ended up hiring another company to actually do the siding of that, and the siding was a steel. And they developed a contract together saying, anything that you do, meaning the subcontractor, anything you do has to be approved by General Motors. Yeah, General Motors, it's got to be in cars. Anyway, sorry. Anything you do has to be approved by General Motors, or else we don't really have to pay you. It can be torn down, and it'll be a breach of contract if you don't do it right. Well, General Motors came and inspected after it was done, and it wasn't to their standard, and so they tore it down. And General Motors had their contractor hire another subcontractor to come and fix it. But the subcontractor, the main contractor didn't pay the other contractor for the work that they had done first. And so ultimately what we're getting here is whether it's a matter of aesthetics, meaning did he ask to take it down because it didn't look pretty, or if it's about commercial use. Did he ask him to take it down because it wasn't very functional? And the reason why this matters is because it determines what kind of standard we're using. If it's aesthetics, well, then you get to use a subjective standard, meaning it's the subjective standard of the of GM manager to determine whether or not it was good, as long as he does that in good faith. But if it's about commercial use, then we use a reasonable person standard or an objective standard to see whether or not it met the qualifications of that time. The issue that we have here is that the clause in the agreement was so confusing, because it was just a standard form, that there was just ambiguous, because things were placed all over the place. And when that's the instance, we're going to just default onto the objective standard. So, big takeaway, if it's aesthetics, then you use objective as long as there's good faith. And if it's commercial, well, then you just use a reasonable standard. Here, it needed to be used at a reasonable standard because the terms are objective, and as a result, it determined that it was improper to take it down. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Law Schoolers. Before I let you go, there are four things I want to say. The first thing is if you enjoyed these episodes and if you enjoyed the website, I would invite you to go and join Law Schoolers Pro. And you can do that by going to lawschoolers.com/join. It's a way for you to support us, but there's also a lot of features there that I think you will enjoy. Second thing is that nearly all of our episodes are unedited. The only ones that aren't are pre-law materials. And the reason for that is so you can actually see the legal material in its raw form as I'm learning it as well. The third thing is that the information contained in these episodes are specifically only for educational purposes. They're not to be used as legal advice. And with that, the fourth thing is if it is used as legal advice, we are not liable. That is, Law Schoolers is not liable for any legal outcomes. Thank you again for enjoying the show. Have a good one.